prosecutors are making their case at the first Trump criminal trial. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Opening statements now underway in New York after the former president spoke out again before going into the courtroom this morning.
This is done as election interference. Everybody knows it. I'm here instead of being able to be in Pennsylvania and Georgia and lots of other places campaigning.
He's charged with falsifying records and 2016 payments to keep an alleged affair quiet. Before the opening statements, the judge ruled if the former president testifies at this trial, prosecutors can ask about other Trump cases in New York, from the civil fraud judgment to the two defamation lawsuits he lost to author E. Jean Carroll, who alleges the former president sexually assaulted her decades ago. More pro-Palestinian protests on another college campus.
In New Haven, Connecticut, hundreds of protesters being removed from a makeshift encampment on Yale's University campus. They blocked streets while calling for a free Palestine, with dozens of protesters, some students, arrested.
That's Fox's Jeff Manasra. After days of anti-Israel protests at Columbia in New York City, the university's president told students they'll be remote today, hoping virtual classes de-escalate the situation. There's also a protest now outside the Supreme Court as the justices consider a case this morning involving homelessness.
People chanting for the homeless. They say that there's not enough housing in the United States, and there's a housing crisis that needs to be fixed. A federal appeals court recently ruled that an anti-camping ordinance aimed at blocking homeless camps in the small town of Grants Pass, Oregon, violated the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment, as the homeless did not have access to shelter elsewhere.
Fox's David Spun. Earlier, the Supreme Court agreed to take up a case this fall involving what are called ghost guns that can be made from kits, making them hard to trace, and issued challenges to Biden administration regulations to force those parts to be licensed and numbered with background checks for buying. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey guys, Donald Trump Jr. here. Let me ask you this. Does inflation feel worse than what we're being told in the news? That's because the official inflation rate doesn't tell the whole story. Since January 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but what you can do is stop your losses today. How? By diversifying your savings into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. When you're done, your money will be parked in a tangible asset with a proven history. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PROTECT to 989898. I trust Birch Gold. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax-advantaged status. So text PROTECT to 989898. That's PROTECT to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
Message.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Miriam Ordonez. Rural Metro Fire Department responded to an RV fire Sunday morning. According to Rural Metro, they received a call at around 9 a.m. and were dispatched to the area of South Day Avenue. They say while no one was injured, the RV is a total loss. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. In Somerton, a tense situation unfolded late Saturday night as police responded to reports of a man exhibiting erratic behavior. Despite attempts to subdue him with tasers, chemical spray, and beanbag rounds, the situation escalated, leading to a barricade inside a home with family members. Just after 1 a.m., special response teams intervened, safely removing the family and apprehending the man without further incident. The man is now receiving medical treatment and the investigation is ongoing. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Hey there, Yuma community. This is Sid Callen, the force behind Citrine Law, formerly of Territorial Law, focusing on personal injury, DUI, and criminal defense. We're your local legal team, ready to champion justice right here in Yuma. Rooted our downtown spot on Gist Parkway, because when it comes to being there for you, consistency is key. But that's not all. Our bilingual team ensures everyone's voice is heard. Porque mi equipo y yo sí hablamos español. So don't hesitate. Citrine Law is just a call away at 928-778-7968 or visit citrinelaw.com to learn more.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with my partner, Sean Garner. I've got Tom Sparks with us. We've got Cody Beeson as well. And prior to coming on and speaking to you, we got into this discussion about what we were talking about was The Little Mermaid. It's Tom's favorite movie, right, yep. Tom?
It's my kid's favorite movie.
Okay. That's not what you said offline, but that's okay. You love The Little Mermaid. That's okay. But it came up because The Little Mermaid was based on, Disney's rendition of it was based on the actual story by Hans Christian Andersen, a Danish author who came up with a lot of different things. In fact, Frozen was another spinoff of Hans Christian Andersen. I think it was The Ice Queen was the name of the original story that Disney played off of to do Frozen. So the question became, how long can you use something like Ariel without infringing on copyright? Like, can I go and make my own cartoons of Ariel? I get really good at drawing her, and I do my own renditions of what I think she should be doing and talking about and put that on YouTube. Would I be slapped by Disney with a lawsuit of copyright infringement? What do you think, Tom?
I think so. I think that the story and the characters are in the public domain. You can use them, but a red-haired Ariel mermaid likely protected under the current law of copyright for Disney. Like, the more detail-oriented you get with the character, the closer you are to infringing. But the fact that there's a Little Mermaid is a open domain idea. You can recreate the Little Mermaid, but if it looks like Disney's Ariel, is the original mermaid even called Ariel in the original folktale?
I haven't read the original. I don't know.
That's kind of what I'm driving at, is she's got red hair, she's got the same color fin, her name's the same. You know, we have a talking seagull, for example. Like, those things are getting closer to infringement.
We, years ago, do you remember this on American Idol? As part of their special episode, they brought in the man, the king, Elvis, in hologram form. Like, they somehow projected him in hologram form. He looked like he was there. It was they had cleaned up the image. And then I think it was Celine Dion that came out and sang with Elvis. I can't remember. It was a female artist. She came out. And it was a big deal to see, like, the hologram of Elvis be there in the flesh again. And so how long can you use Elvis's image without...
Or how long can't you use it?
Yeah, I guess the question is, do I have to ask permission from Elvis's estate to use his image?
Well, here's what Google says. The term of a copyright for a particular work depends on several factors, including whether it has been published, and if so, the date of first publication. As a general rule, for work created after January 1st, 1978, copyright protection lasts for the life of the author plus an additional 70 years. For an anonymous work or work done under a pseudonym, work made for hire and copyright endures for the term of 95 years from the work or for the date of first publication, or 120 years from the year of its creation, whichever expires first.
So what's that mean in layman's terms, Sean?
So you can't use somebody else's image without their permission for 120 years.
But what if they're dead? What's Elvis going to do about that?
It's still, Elvis is dead, but his image isn't. And his estate owns his image and his likeness. And so you have to get permission. He hasn't been dead for 120 years. So I say you have to get permission from his estate, probably pay them a royalty. And that, I would assume American Idol went through those legal barriers get that accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we saw this recently as well. Tom, you're bringing up the Star Wars franchise, these last movies. In the midst of the last three that they were doing, Princess Leia died in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up using CGI to put her into some of the movies after that.
Yeah.
And General Tarkin, I think it was his name.
I think that's his name. Yeah, Carrie Fisher passed away. And while Disney owns the character, Princess Leia, they don't own Carrie Fisher's likeness. So they can continue to put Princess Leia in the movies, but if they wanted to look like Carrie Fisher, then they need to go
get permission from the estate. So, Sean, we were talking about, Cody, what did you have to say?
I don't want to throw us off, but at what point does the likeliness or that look cross over? Like, at what point do we say, no, that's a cartoon, that's digital, that's not her, that's just a character we created, we don't want to pay? At what point do you get to call that?
Yeah, it's a good question. Remember, Kim Kardashian was one of the first people to trademark her appearance. And the question becomes, well, if we get somebody who looks a lot like her and we put her on a commercial to market our, like, you know, let's just say makeup, for example, do you need to pay Kim Kardashian? It's clear what you're doing. You're trying to find her doppelganger. Is that how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah. Twin, okay. Yeah.
Trying to find her twin so you can market it and try to steal from her fame, I suppose.
That's funny that you say that. I recently met with some friends, and their daughter is like a director. What do you call that? Assistant director or something on film sets. And she recently did a film with Lindsay Lohan as the star. And they were saying how Lindsay Lohan acted on set was, you know, probably what you would assume she would act like. But she had like 4 to 5 stunt doubles. They weren't doing stunts. They just did all of her scenes that wasn't the front of her. Mm-hmm. So literally,
because they're so tired of working with Lindsay herself.
I don't know why they did it, but she would literally, yeah. They said she would come in. If it was a forward-facing shot of her face, she would read the line. Even if the director said, let's do that again, she'd be like, no, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
One's enough. And then go back to her trailer. And then the rest of the stunt doubles do everything else. So it's interesting that you bring up these likenesses and Kim Kardashian. This conversation actually came up because, Sean, you brought up, we were talking about AI and this new foray into this new technology that the world's kind of bracing itself for. We've got Congress trying to slow it down, and we've got the private marketplace trying to speed it up and jump right in. And there's a lot of questions. You know, is this going to replace a lot of people? Software engineers are super scared right now. They say, well, we don't need lawyers anymore. We don't need software engineers.
Yeah.
We don't need accountants.
The finance industry.
Yeah. So is this true or not? I mean, my experience with AI is that, no, we're not to that level yet.
Or even Google, the internet in general, right? You can get the basic information that you need. YouTube, you can YouTube almost anything, how to get it done. But at a certain point, you're going to need an expert who's done it before to actually put it together. I could YouTube how to tear apart my transmission of my, you know, my BMW. I'm not going to do that because I don't have the tools. I don't have the know-how. Like, doing it over and over and over again and having that experience, there's no replacement for that. You can know how to do something, but doing it is not necessarily recommended. And I think that comes into play with ChatGPT and all the other AI options that we have out there. Okay, they can tell you how it should be done, but does that mean I ought to do it without the help of an expert? That's the question.
So do you think that the intellectual jobs would be phased out first, and then there'd be a turn to back to blue collar work?
I quite honestly don't. I think what it's going to lead to is that people need to up their game as far as qualified workers and using AI. I think it's just another tool in your tool belt. For example, I don't think the invention of steel put the woodworker out of business. It just put working with wood out of business. It put the woodworker into a new area, new industry of business, and that is forging steel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the AI world, I mean, it's not magic. An AI bot does not understand. It's kind of, I think of it like an infant. You have to train it the way that you want it. The challenge with today's publicly available iterations of AI, like ChatGPT, or you've got Gemini from Google. It used to be Bard, and then Microsoft has its own version of Copilot.
What? Is it Copilot Microsoft uses?
Yep, mm-hmm. Copilot.
Yeah. So each one of these is kind of like a skin on top of what's called an LLM, a large language model, and that's the basis or the code that's being that is driving the conversational tone when you're talking to an AI bot. That thing can learn. It is learning. But what you feed it is going to make it learn the way that you want it to. And so when we're using these publicly available bots, they've already come – by the time we've used them, I mean, they've already been beta tested. They've already been saturated from that company itself, be it Microsoft, Google, or ChatGPT, which is OpenAI. Is the basis of that
so
company.
You're getting a highly biased opinion.
Absolutely. And we talked about this, maybe a year ago when I started playing around. We were playing around with it, and we were getting all sorts, like anything conservative was being.
Yeah.
Remember, tell me a joke about Muhammad? I can't do that.
No, yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
Is that good or bad? I don't care. It is what it is. And so I have already a built-in skepticism of using one of those public forums to ask it questions, knowing that it's going to come through a lens of what those developers have decided.
You remember the question we tested it with?
It was something about Biden and Trump.
Yeah, we asked, why was Trump the best president? And it said it couldn't take political stances and it couldn't make opinions on those issues. And then we asked, why is Biden the best president? And it gave us this big, long list of all these accomplishments that he had done throughout his career. I was like, oh, well. I guess that's a little double standard.
Mm-hmm. And so it's drawing off of things that has been fed. So it's kind of like raising a child. You know, if you feed it junk its whole life, it's going to grow up thinking that's the correct moral compass. So anyway, this whole conversation came up because Sean was like, let's talk about AI today. And I said, no, I don't want to talk about AI.
You're working with AI.
I am working with AI.
As we put on this show.
It's my secret project that I didn't want you to talk about.
Well, so here it is. Here's the thing that is interesting, that is new about AI, and everything's new. Every week that goes by, something new comes out, and LLMs was something new that I was actually fooled by. I said, well, okay, first of all, what are LLMs? And you described it just shortly ago, but say it again slower so we can understand. What's an LLM? Because that's what everybody's talking about now.
LLM stands for Large Language Model. That's the base or the code that is the basis that you start with to create an AI program or bot.
So it's not a variation of an LLC.
No.
Because yeah. That's what I – whenever I saw
it's
LLM –
It's not legal masters either.
Yeah, it's not – exactly.
Yes.
And tax or something. No.
People have LLM after their name, and that means they're a master in tax law.
It's a generic acronym that we use for ChatGPT, Gemini – Open AI system or Copilot from Microsoft.
That has come into our parlance in the past 3 weeks, basically.
So those are all public ones that I just mentioned, but there's private ones. People, you know, the geeks around the world have been going off and creating all sorts of branches, you know, so that you can download and you can have those privately and run your own stuff.
Speaking of geeks around the world, there was two that I ran into last week that had big grins on their face on separate days. And I was like, what are you so happy about? One had this big box in his hand, and he said, I got my own AI, LLM. And I was like, what the heck? Why do you need your own? You got ChatGPT. You got all the others that are free out there. You know, oh, no. Oh, those are fed with, you know, what they want to indoctrinate us with. I'm going to feed this one. I'm going to train it up to do what I want it to do. And I said, okay. And then I went back to work in my office doing real adult stuff.
Yeah, that's why I was reluctant to tell you what I was working on.
But so anyways, I came.
I get no respect around here.
Well, I was going to put on an LLM explanation.
And I told you this was highly confidential.
Yeah, nobody listens to this show.
That's true. That's true.
So now my mom knows about it. But other than that, we're okay. But so Ryan Gosling is out there describing LLMs. And I'm like, I wonder how they got
like
Ryan.
It was a video that you found. You said, look, Ryan Gosling is even. I said, nobody's talking about it, Sean. He's like, look at this. Ryan Gosling is
he's out there
about
on it. If Ryan knows Gosling. About it, yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a deep fake. That's not real.
And so let's talk about that a little bit. With AIs now, you can do these deep fakes of any individual that you want, talking in their, you know, nice, subtle tone and having their nuances and their beautiful image describing what it is that you want to learn about. And so it can make learning a lot more entertaining. I'm sure my daughter is much more apt to listen to a math teacher that is looking like Ryan Gosling than what her current I don't know what her current math teacher looks like.
You're assuming that's the biggest assumption.
Gosling's older brother teaching calculus in Yuma.
Yeah. So, but Ryan Gosling, you could look up what is an LLM and how do you use it, and you can have it explained to you by Ryan Gosling. And I was going to play that, but by this point, we're kind of beyond that. But LLM is your own personal. You can download this large language model, and it can explain to you how to use it so you can put in your own information, and then it continues to learn from the information that you upload into it.
So this all circles back. We got to go to break, but this all circles back to what we started with Tom's favorite movie, The Little Mermaid, because the question becomes, okay, now we have this deep fake of Ryan Gosling that was created by AI. It looks exactly like him, sounds just like him, and it's not him. And so now does he have a legal remedy to go after the people that published that video and say, that's not me. I didn't give you permission to use me or act like that. I didn't say that. Where are we now in the world where we've got to actually protect our physical image and our speech in the sense of policing companies or AI companies that are allowing this to happen? We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
The sun is shining, the temperatures are warm, but we do have a change in the weather pattern as the temperatures begin to gradually cool down starting tomorrow. But today, another breezy, warm day, 98 the high this afternoon. Overnight, we cool into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, still well above average for this time of year. Just not as hot as today, 93 the high, 91 Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Dear, has my honey-do list become a honey-don't?
I need to rent tools to do the to-do list.
Let's go to Southwest Lumber. They've got everything you need to do the to-dos, and they're voted Yuma's best year after year.
Get all your to-dos to done at Southwest Lumber, 1917 South Avenue B. Open Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Go and ask about their rental specials, like half-day pricing on overnight rentals, Monday through Friday. When you rent on Saturday, Sundays are free. Call Southwest Lumber at 928-782-9867.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them?
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America.
Hey, Yuma. This is Cecilia Holland Braithwaite at El Dorado Broadcasters. They call me Miss Sunshine because I smile a lot and I try not to break hearts as I shed light on marketing and advertising ideas. Your business future can be bright when you tell your story the right way to the right people enough time. This could be your commercial, but instead, your future clients and customers are hearing me right now. I bet your story is better. Let's tell it. Call me at 928-329-3091.
Do you know about 211 Arizona? It's a free service to connect you with resources anywhere in Arizona. Housing assistance and eviction prevention, transportation and ride services, healthcare benefits, food resources, and even utility bill support. Talk to a live operator in English or Spanish 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Just dial 211 or visit 211arizona.org. Get connected, get answers, and get the help you need. This message is sponsored by 211 Arizona.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and we've got my partner Sean Garner. We've got Tom Sparks in the house, and we've got Cody Beeson. We've been talking a lot about the new foray into this AI world that we're living in. Sean had found this video about Ryan Gosling explaining AI and large language models, LLMs, and
I just stumbled upon Ryan Gosling. I was actually looking up AI stuff, just to be clear on that.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so anyway, he found this video. He's like, look, even Ryan Gosling is talking about it. And I said, I've seen that video, and it's fake. It's a deep fake.
I didn't
it's
know that. These guys all publicly shamed me for believing that it was actually Ryan Gosling. I actually believed it was him.
Really?
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
I'm pretty gullible, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, those two just didn't
I'm
go.
I'm like, dang, Ryan Gosling really upped his game. He sounds really smart on this video.
I would have believed it to be Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is actually really smart.
Yeah.
But look what we're doing here.
If Matthew McConaughey explaining it, then I might have had a little bit of doubt. But
none of those observations matter about their look. Like,
what
it looked
do you
like
want?
Ryan, yeah.
What do you want? Notebook. That's the only thing I know about Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that's The Notebook.
Yeah, if
Sean's favorite movie. Tom loves The Little Mermaid. Sean's got The Notebook.
I only know that because I use it every day when I'm trying to figure out what my wife actually wants.
Gotcha.
Okay, sorry.
Tom. I was just going to say that the video looked like Ryan Gosling. It sounded like Ryan Gosling. The only reason we didn't think it was is because it didn't make sense for him to be talking about AI, which just shows you how powerful it is. So if you don't know who Ryan Gosling is and you think that maybe he has reason to know about AI, you wouldn't know it was fake.
Yeah.
They're getting too good.
Speaking of, like, what rights do we have to use other people's intellectual property or their likeness and their image? I want to talk a little bit about the copyright. Copyright protection is good for, I think it's 10 years. Yeah. Sorry, no. The copyright was for 70 years. from the life of the author, or 120 years from its creation, whichever is longer. And then we get into trademark. And so trademarks are, you know, like the Safeway symbol. You get
McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's symbols, those types of symbols. Those are trademarks. Those are good for 10 years, but you can renew them. So they can be good indefinitely because the companies that have vested interests in them, they want to renew them every 10 years, and so McDonald's is going to go on in perpetuity. And then we've got the patent. And this is where it got a little heated here off the air, and we almost came to fisticuffs. But we restrained ourselves. And the patent is good for... Right.
It took the shirts off and everything?
Yeah. Only 20 years. And it's really interesting because there are some significant events in human history where I think the expiration of the patent actually saved literally the innovation itself. For example, the Wright brothers. They were able to patent the right to fly. Not their design of the airplane. It was flying in general. They were able to win that patent. And then along came World War I, and the United States said, okay, we have an overriding security interest here, so we're going to limit that right to your patent. And we're going to. And it was an individual named Carter, I forget his first name, that he figured out a way to fly much more efficiently with a fixed-wing plane. And they allowed his invention to come in and be produced without paying the massive royalties that the Wright brothers wanted. In fact, the Wright brothers were really kind of
jerks.
When it came to their invention, they didn't want to allow it out there. And in fact, they blamed Carter for the death. And I forget if it was Orville or what's the other Wright brother's name?
I don't know.
Come on.
Anybody?
Uncultured swine.
Bueller.
Okay. We're looking this up.
Wilbur.
Wilbur and Orville Wright.
That.
Okay. So one of them passed away as a result of the stress that they were going through these lawsuits to protect their patents and protect their right to fly. And you think about that, that's really selfish that they didn't want the rest of humanity to participate in this wonderful invention that they came up with, and or it wasn't even an invention in and of itself, but the ability to fly. And another invention was a television. And so when the television was invented, there were a lot of patent lawsuits about that. And then what happened was World War II came around about that same time. Nobody could afford a television. The individual was this young kid from Idaho. I'm going to get his name here. Philo Farnsworth. He invented the television, and he was this young kid out of southern Idaho. He didn't have a lot of backing, but it was RCA that wanted to develop the television. They just couldn't get it right, and so they went and they copied his work, and they were able then to get it right, and he sued them for patent infringement, and after years in court, he won. And so they couldn't develop the television, and then World War II ensued. Nobody could afford a television. After World War II, guess what? The patent that he was given, awarded the right to, had expired, and RCA comes out starting developing televisions, and Philo died without anybody knowing who he was, and penniless and alone. So is that good? Is that bad with the patent laws? Should they last longer? Should they not be enforced at all? That's the argument that we're putting out there. And Thomas, what's your position on that?
I think the patent law has a place. I just don't like the idea of a monopoly. So essentially, a patent will give you a monopoly on the product for 20 years. And yeah, what I think should happen instead would be you can get a patent, but instead of you being the sole individual who can develop this, and you can limit who can work on this type of technology, I think they develop a more robust royalty system, so we still have competition in the marketplace.
Well, the royalty system currently, if you own the patent, is whatever you want.
But can you, if you own the patent, can you deny production?
Yes.
So that would
be for the 20 years.
So that would be, I think, the thing that goes too far. Like, I don't want 20 years where you deny production.
That they say, okay, you can charge a royalty up to, say, 50% of the cost of production, and so what, or the profits or whatever revenue is received from producing and selling, marketing your product. But over that, we're going to limit it because we want the people to be benefited from whoever can market it and get it out to the masses the quickest.
Yeah. Nope. I think maybe a sliding, scale of royalties.
What do you think about that, Adam?
Well, as you're talking, I was thinking about using a person's patent to basically building upon a person's patent. And how does that work? Obviously, we're not patent attorneys. Those guys are incredible. They usually have to have a degree,
a biology and a chemistry, or some type of,
or mechanical engineering a lot of times, and then you go to law school on top of that, and then you have to pass not only the bar for law, but then you have to pass the patent bar, which is like even harder. So patent attorneys are incredible, and so we're not holding ourselves out to be patent attorneys at all. In fact, we barely even dabble in that area in law school. They give you a little taste of it, but it's pretty assumed, like, okay, you guys aren't going to be patent attorneys, so here's a little bit so you know enough to be dangerous, but the real patent attorneys are going to come to the top here, the cream of the crop. But having said that, I've always, you were talking about restriction on use, Tom, and how you disagree with that, meaning if I invent something and my invention is incredible and you want to use it, you don't think that I have the ability to say, no, you can't use that. I created that, and I'm denying you the ability to use it because I own the rights to that.
No matter how much Tom is willing to pay you out of the profits that he makes from it.
Right.
I don't even think that's very common. I think you might have the right to do that, but I think it's more common for people to license the right to use it. So I get to use your product. Mm-hmm. I can't copy it. That's really what patent law is about, is copying it and then selling it for money.
Yeah, as if you invented it yourself.
As if you invented it.
But what if you had a scenario where somebody found out how to make an identical product, but they made it way cheaper than you could? Like, their process is way more efficient.
Well, they're already doing that.
And that's
like
what China's doing. Yeah, that is what capitalism is, in a sense.
True.
Who can make the product the most efficient and provide it to the consumer in the easiest way, and that person wins out. Where does patent law come into that?
And I was just going to say, in fact, I kind of rely on that capitalistic system.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
For example, you have these really nice sheets that are the newfangled sheets or mattresses. You see these things all the time, and they're exorbitant amount of money to buy them if you get the one from that company. I know that if I wait 6 months, I'm going to find it on Amazon from some knockoff.
Yeah.
It's going to feel exactly the same. It's going to look the same, but it's some knockoff company, probably from China or some sort of merchandise coming in from China. So I kind of rely on that. I just wait. I play the waiting game. Okay, I really want that product, but mm-hmm. I know if I wait long enough, I'll find it on Amazon for cheaper because somebody's going to do a knockoff. Is that always the best thing? You know, I mean, when I do that, I know I'm probably going to get a little bit downgrade of quality. But some of these knockoffs, like we talk about AirPods, you can find some really good. They look identical to AirPods. They sound a lot like AirPods. You know, it's like they get really good at copying things.
I didn't know that. If I had known that a week ago, we could have averted some huge battles in my family.
Oh, there you go. I just don't want to wait 20 years.
Well, here's my argument for the patent. It takes a lot of time and initial investment up front where you're not getting compensated. You're taking this out of your personal life. Generally, it's not your full-time job to develop this product or this idea. And it's intellectual property that is being protected in the patent. And if we don't allow that to be protected and that ownership, number one, it's unconstitutional because we have the right to own property, including intellectual property. So I think that is infringing upon your constitutional rights. Number two, it disincentivizes people who would put all the time and energy into creating better products that improve our everyday life. And we want to incentivize people to continue to improve. We want the drug companies to continue to innovate to make our life better. And so they get to capitalize on those innovations for a limited period of time. And the law has come up with 20 years as far as that limited period of time. Now, we see where they don't honor those laws, like in China, and they infringe upon patent and copyright and every other law, and you get these movies that you're not buying from the actual producers, and it cheapens the whole product, and it also creates a disincentive for the artist or the inventor to put in the hard work to do it again.
Patent law, though, you just mentioned China. I mean, the thing about what we're talking about, it's United States law.
Yeah,
it's not
right. China doesn't have to abide by it.
But they do have every country has their own patent laws or IP laws, intellectual property laws. But you as an inventor, you'd have to be very diligent about going to those countries, those foreign domains where you think it might be used, or you're going to sell it, and you have to take out, you have to copyright or you have to patent it over there as well, because they don't care about American law or U.S. law, excuse me. They don't care about what's going on here on our turf as far as an invention. So I think China is a lot. They don't really care, you know, like. It was created over here in the United States. We might have some patent laws or copyright laws. They don't care. They're not subject to the United States copyright laws or patent laws. They're subject to their own laws, but they might not have that in their own forum.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I agree that patent law, there's a place for it and that we need it. And if you don't protect someone's interest in creating, then people are going to stop. Like, why would I waste my time creating something if this big company is just going to steal it out from under me and do it way cheaper?
Mm-hmm.
But what I think the protection is just too robust. The protection is I can prevent you from making this cheaper and better for everybody, and I can force my inefficient process on the public if I so choose,
yeah.
And I don't want that option.
However, human nature generally isn't like that. I don't right. believe it is, at least.
I don't think we should rely, though, on the human nature to save us. I think the law should just protect it.
Well, the law does, in a sense, 20 years.
It does, but
and
I think so, it could be
like,
better.
If you can come up with your own way that is not this exact patented mm-hmm. way to do it, then go for it. And you get your own patent. But if you can't, then within 20 years, then you can use that person's invention. There's a wonderful movie out there about this. It's called Flash of Genius. And it's about this individual. His name's Robert Kearns, and he invented the intermittent windshield wiper. And Ford had been working on this for a long time, and so had GM and some other of these major companies, and they hadn't been able to get it down. And so he developed this, and he was a tinkerer, and he was an engineer. He taught engineering in school and, you know, made a decent living, but, you know, struggled from day to day to, you know, provide for the family and make ends meet. So he's working all through the night to make this intermittent windshield wiper, and he's very cautious when he presents it to Ford because he doesn't want them to steal his idea without compensating him. And his agreement with them is that he's going to be able to manufacture it. He doesn't want them manufacturing it because he feels like they'll if they can manufacture it, then they have to have the actual design. He says, I'll manufacture it, and then you know, you do your quality control, put it in your cars, and you can go ahead and do it for the next 20 years. So Ford agrees to that, and as soon as they get the first model of it, they reverse engineer it, and then they tell him, oh, we no longer need your contract. We're going to go ahead and cancel that. We're going to do it on our own. We figured our own way out how to do this. And this guy dedicated his life, and it ruined his family life. He got a divorce, you know. He put all of his time and energy into suing Ford for this. They came up with several settlement offers to pay him off and just get him out of their hair. He ended up just going through for moral issues, and he won tens of millions of dollars against the Ford Motor Company for doing this. I agree with him, and I'm glad there are people like him out there. Of course, I would never have done that on my own, you know, throw away my family and everything. But there are those that need to take a stand up against the big guys that already have everything and say, no, I created something. If you want it, you got to go through me to get it, and you got to pay my agreed-upon royalty fees.
Yeah, I think that's – I wholeheartedly agree that as long as it's a royalty fee, that's the remedy – and not an injunction.
But if you force a royalty fee, then you are also infringing upon another constitutional right, which is the right to contract. And my right to contract is I don't want to give you a royalty at all. Or I don't want to accept a royalty agreement from you.
Yeah, but we're also making up the right to the patent. Like the 20-year right to a patent is made up.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't read that into the Constitution personally. Like, just because I have the same idea doesn't mean I stole your idea. Like, it's not the same thing as I stole your tangible personal property.
Well, in our world today, intellectual property is just as valuable, if not more valuable, than tangible property.
Which is why I think the law was on the books, because we recognize that there's a fundamental difference between IP and tangible property.
Right.
We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Looking for a place to store your golf cart? Look no further. Cars and Carts does it all. They will pick up your cart, store it in their facility, charge the battery monthly, maintain the water, complete services as needed, clean it up, and deliver it back to you when you are back in town. What more could you ask for? Cars and Carts, for all your golf cart needs, repairs, or if you're shopping for a new ride, give Denny a call today at 928-726-2286 or stop by Cars and Carts at 2899 South Sherry Avenue in Yuma.
Prescription opioids can be addictive and dangerous.
We were driving to the supermarket, and as we entered the parking lot, a car ran a stop sign and completely T-boned us. When I was first prescribed my prescription pain meds, there was nobody to tell me these have a really high potential for addiction. How can I be addicted? I get these from my doctor.
Prescription opioids. It only takes a little to lose a lot. Visit cdc.gov/rxawareness.
This is Joan, enjoying some me time up on the rim. This is Simon and his friends paddling the Salt River.
And this is Brad. Brad is... well, no one knows where Brad is.
What they all have in common is that they went to azmbdnow.gov to quickly and easily renew their registration or 30 other services. So go to azmbdnow.gov and get more time to enjoy all the things you love.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
The song asks, why is the rich man busy dancing while the poor man pays the band? A home warranty doesn't climb on the roof to fix an AC. The AC man does. In AC service, avoid the middleman. Call your neighbor, the AC contractor, or call Air Central Heating and Cooling today.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm Attorney Adam Hanson, and we've got Sean Garner with us. We've got Tom Sparks and Cody Beeson, and we've been talking a lot today about intellectual property law. I know that sounds boring to you, but in reality, I mean, it's touching everything you're doing today. The intellectual property law is touching everything that you're going to be involved in today. If you use your phone, if you use a computer, if you drive your car, these are all things that you open up the fridge. These things are all regulated by intellectual property law. And really, it's not like our founders didn't know about these concepts. In fact, Ben Franklin was one that was adamant about not having patents. Right, Sean?
Yeah, well, he himself invented a lot of things that we even use still today, like bifocals. He invented those flexible catheters. He invented that. I mean, he was an amazing, amazing person. He invented about 10 things that we still use today, and he never patented any of it. He just gave his ideas out there freely, and I think some of the greatest ideas that he came up with was, of course, the Constitutional Republic. And that was an idea that we're continuing to use right now. But as far as items go, he believed that the world should benefit from his genius. And so he gave that freely. Now, with somebody with so many talents, you could downplay that a little bit and say, well, he had so much else going for him that he didn't need to patent something and become rich off that individual patent. But Thomas Edison, on the other side, he had over 1,000 patents, and he was very, very adamant about protecting his patents, and he would sue and did sue frequently for patent infringement. In fact, there's this big feud between him and Nikola Tesla about patents and electricity and what electricity was the best electricity to use. And there's a good series out there about that, but so that essentially is a great controversy that continues today, whether or not patent law should be as heavily protected as it is to provide inventors incentive to put in the blood, sweat, tears, and money up front to continue to invent and then protect their right to use their invention as they see fit for at least 20 years, or should we mandate that they allow others to use it as long as there's a reasonable royalty paid to them for their ideas. We're not going to solve that today, but one thing that I do want to get into, Adam, you brought this up, is Microsoft and Apple. It's a different issue, and the issue there is monopolies. And so right now, Apple is being sued for having a monopoly and using it in a way that is curbing market innovation or the ability for other competitors to come up with their own ideas and compete with what Apple has already put out there. For example, everybody knows that the iPhone is super popular. I think it's 7 out of 10 users in America of phones, cellular phones, use iPhones. And Tom doesn't. Well, who uses iPhone
in the room? What's our ratio in the room?
I use an iPhone. Cody uses an iPhone. You use an iPhone or Android?
Yeah, reluctantly, I have to have an iPhone.
Oh, so you got an iPhone. Okay. So
there's
five people in here. Martin is in here. He doesn't have a mic right now. But so 4 out of 5 people in this room have iPhones. And that's fine. I think iPhones are a great product. I was reluctant to move over as well. But the problem was none of the videos that I was taking and the text messages that I was doing was being integrated well with the group of people that I was communicating with. And it's because Apple very purposely made that information be downgraded in quality when it came over. For example, the text message would what did it do to the text message group text messages if somebody was an Android
user?
The
green bubble versus the blue bubble?
Green, yeah.
Yeah, but it would do something else, too. It would prevent the whole – so, for example, if you attached a video to it, the video quality for the entire group would be significantly reduced. So you could record something in high def, and if it was all Apple users receiving it, then – it would be high def for them to watch it. But if there was a single Android user in that group, then it downgraded the video for everybody else. And so everybody's going to gang up on that Android user and say, hey, get on the bandwagon here.
Got an iPhone.
Yeah.
Fun fact, too, that the messaging that Android uses is newer technology than Apple's messaging.
And much broader. There's the uses that are available in the Android, and I saw that as well, that there was a much broader application for those videos and what you could do with them as far as editing. But so the government right now, Merrick Garland right now, the Attorney General, is suing Apple for a monopoly. And what a monopoly is not just owning all of one product. It's using that ownership in that product to curtail the development of other products and put down competition in the market of other products. And that is what Apple is doing.
And it most likely will be successful. I'm projecting it's going to be a successful lawsuit against Apple. The reason why Apple recently included a USB-C port on the bottom of their phones was because they got sued in Europe. Europe brought a similar suit. The European Union said you're purposely downgrading the experience for everybody, and we're not going to allow that. So instead of Apple saying, okay, we're just going to change our iPhones in the European market, we're just going to blanket put USB-C ports on all of our stuff. Hitherto, they were using their own proprietary Lightning port, which is significantly slower. In fact, when they moved to the USB-C port that they were forced to do through this action, the new iPhones come with the USB-C port. So now not only do I have to have like multiple chargers to do my laptop or to my phones or my AirPods, it's super annoying, number one. Number two, those ports aren't designed for the data speeds that Android phones, for example, have been using for probably over a decade. And so even though they did substitute in now a USB-C port, even if I plug into it, it won't charge as fast. It won't transfer data as fast because they're far behind technology because they purposely did that. They were so intent on making it a bad experience for their users dealing with other people that didn't have iPhones or Apple products that it kept them way back technologically. And so now the world is really probably 15, 20 years ahead of them in technology when it comes to data speeds, when it comes to features on their phones and on their devices. And the common mantra is, I'm not coming at Apple. I could care less. I have to have an iPhone because my wife is all Apple. And so we had to go into that ecosystem because she says, you know, it's simple for me to use. And that's true. It is very simple.
And she wants to track you with Life 360.
That's really what it's about. Well, it's not Life 360. It's Find My. So she wants to know where I'm at and where our kids are at. So
what's Life 360?
It's an ecosystem. That's an app that works on all phones, on all systems.
Okay.
That's not good enough, I guess, for
gotta have FaceTime.
My wife. You gotta have FaceTime.
It doesn't pinpoint you as precisely.
So Cody is chomping at the bit. He loves Apple. He's an Apple guy. And we've had these conversations.
Yeah, you've always been pushing Apple on us, Cody.
After the BlackBerry,
his argument is simple. He says it just works.
Yeah. What's a driver?
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah.
It just works.
Do you know why Apple even exists? Because the type of monopoly laws that are currently being used against Apple with Microsoft. Microsoft had a monopoly on Windows and how it was being used. And it was crushing competition by either buying out startup companies or underselling them because it could sell its product. It was so wealthy that it could sell its product cheaper than production until those smaller companies would go out of business. And so
which is really kind of funny because they're built on, you talk about Windows and Mac OS.
Yeah.
Mac OS is built on a free system, Linux,
an
operating system that anybody can use. I mean, you can download all sorts of flavors of that Linux system. And so Mac or Apple just did that, and they created their own skin on that. But then they give it to us on a phone, their own mobile version of it, and they charge us $1,500 for
it. Well, Steve Jobs originally created Windows, and Bill Gates took it and sold it. Before he could, they basically were partners initially, and Bill Gates took it and marketed it at first and patented it first. And anyway, he was out there, and that goes back into the patent law. But what happened was the federal government, it's under the Sherman antitrust laws, which the name of that law makes no sense. Either way, it forces companies
old school
to not take a non-competitive approach to the use of their whatever product.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when they have such an overwhelming market share of the product that they can put down all the little guys that are trying to innovate and come up with competition, then the antitrust laws come in and say, no, you can develop as much as you want, but you got to let other people develop too. You can't go out there and basically strong arm all the upstarts from having competition. And so what Bill Gates did is he lent Steve Jobs a couple $1 billion. I don't know how much it was, maybe $100 million, and says, listen, in order for me to continue as a company, I have to have competition. You are the only viable competition out there that's really going to produce a good product. So I'm going to take your fledgling company that is basically about to go on and become bankrupt, and I'm going to give you money so you can be my competition. You can be basically my little brother so I can continue on running the world with Windows. And lo and behold, we've seen what's happened. Apple has surpassed.
The students become the master.
Though, you know, there's no Microsoft phones out there or Windows phones out there. I mean, if there are, then
there's a few.
It's a guy living in his parents' basement, basically.
We got to go. We will talk to you next week. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Tired of making guesses when it comes to flooring? At Johnny's Carpets and Flooring, they believe in the power of informed decisions over educated guesses. Sure, gathering information for hours on the internet may make you feel smart, but most of the time you don't know the right questions to ask. Come on in to Johnny's Carpets and let them educate you. They're wiser than the internet and the big box stores. With their expert team by your side, you'll receive personalized guidance and in-depth knowledge so you can decide if something in the wide selection fits you. Johnny's Carpets and Flooring, holding it down since 1965. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Screen time's over.
Be home by 11?
Put your phone down while reading.
When parents set boundaries, keep track of where their kids go, and talk to them about the dangers of underage drinking and drugs, they keep their kids safe. Visit TalkNowAZ.com. Be the influence. Talk early. Talk often. Talk now.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
This message is sponsored by the Substance Abuse Coalition Leaders of Arizona.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.